This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, I'm hosting today because Nathaniel's very tired, so welcome to the most recent episode of the Tull and Back podcast. We've got a nice positive podcast to talk about this week, obviously, a draw against Bristol City, a win against Leicester and a very exciting but late transfer deadline day. I think it was probably planned to be late on purpose. We're joined by Nathaniel this week, who wasn't going to come on but decided he was going to come on late on, so he's here to mourn Ryan Longman's departure. Would probably be the correct choice of words there. We've got Tom on and Will. How are we all doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Smashing.
Except the Longman news, quite decent. Except being tired.
We'll talk on the episode today about Bristol City game, and then obviously that very very good win away at Leicester, which leaves us in good stead for the international break, and then we'll talk about deadline day. So everybody that's in the comments, just give us your thoughts on deadline day, the signings, departures. I think Xavi Simon's probably got quite a bad end of the deal, considering the manager that brought him in is now sacked. but we'll touch on that later. So obviously the Bristol City game, I wasn't at that one. I was away on holiday. I believe all three of you were there, or just Tom and Will? All three?
Yeah, I was there.
You were there? You scored?
Yeah, I did score. Yeah, it was a good finish. I got in the box late. Yeah, it's a good ball. Cheers, Liam. We'll come to you first then, Tom. So we'll just briefly talk about Bristol, because obviously it was quite a while ago now and we've got quite a lot to cover. But on the Bristol City game, what were your overall thoughts on it? Because it was quite a mixed game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think first 20, 25 minutes looks like we could blow them away, like in attack. And I think, you know, the patterns were good. Like, obviously, the lap was making them the runs out wide. And that's obviously how the goal came. Obviously, he crosses for Tufan. He does a great finish into the corner. But I felt we played the game in spells, like we have for most of the season, where we look really good and then we sort of take our foot off the gas a bit and let Bristol come on to us. But they had obviously executed the game plan quite well, that they was just going to sit back and think it was on the counter, and obviously that's how they get us. But we didn't take our chances when we were on top, and obviously we were punished for that. But I think Nigel Pearson again showed why he's been in the Championship game a long time. He knows how to come to a team that are going to play predominantly possession football and sort of break it up and make it hard for you to get through. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, we were talking about it like before the game, that Nigel Pearson was managing a team that had 3 shots on target across the entire, obviously, 3 first couple of games. And they come to the MKM and I probably have a couple more than that in one match. So I think, yeah, fair play to Bristol City. They came there and they played well. But for us, I felt, you know, it was disappointing to draw 1-1, considering, you know, we was on top for large spells, and it wasn't until the last 20 minutes where we looked like we could score more goals, but, you know, want to be. But yeah, it was a decent performance.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying on a channel I was on the other day that I think our biggest issue this season is that we can't seem to keep a consistent level of control over a game across the 90 minutes. There is always like a period of the game where we're in control than the other, which is sometimes normal football, but we don't seem to have that impetus in us at the minute to really take the game by the scruff of the neck. Toufan, though, obviously, had the target of 15 goals this season. Scored the goal again, so he's on four goals. He's 4 goals in both his home games, so he obviously likes scoring at home. But how important do you think Toufan's going to be this season, Will? Obviously, with like the likes of Aaron Connolly coming off the bench and scoring goals, getting his first call up to Ireland as well in a long time. And, you know, we've got competition up top, which is healthy, but, you know, Toufan is making a claim for being that starting striker alongside Delap.
Oh, yeah. I think you could probably make a good case that Toufan's going to be our most important player this season with the job that he has in the midfield and being the link between the midfield and the attack. And he started it well. I mean, he looks a different player from the one that joined us, to be honest. I mean, when he joined us, he still looked okay. But the way he's improved under Rossini is nothing short of ridiculous. And I can just imagine somewhere in a dark corner, Dan Gosselin is absolutely steaming with how this has gone.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is with Toufan was, obviously, he's come in as a midfielder. And then towards the end of last season, when strikers got injured, we played him as kind of that false nine, that striker up top on his own. And I said that I think he looks better in that position personally because it allows him to get into the box where, obviously, he's very dangerous, as we've seen already this season and for large parts of last season. But, you know, like you say, playing alongside somebody like Delap who can hold the ball, get us, you know, be that platform for Toufan to make those late runs into the box or to hold onto the space on the edge like he did against Wednesday for his goals. But his creativity and his intelligence around the box is going to be so important. But another one I want to touch on because it was a really good assist from Liam Delap, Nathaniel did. So with Delap coming in, we had the usual case of, you know, Stoke Preston fans saying he's not that great. You know, you've not got a striker who's going to be prolific or score loads of goals. But against Bristol, he showed that he's more about the goals, isn't he? He's given us a completely new dimension in attack. Like we say, that assist for Toufan was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really nice move. And again, playing out from the goalkeepers, that's what they're trying to do. I think with Delap and, of course, Connolly, I mean, maybe Toufan, he's sort of fitter than he's ever been. Hopefully, we've seen his, you know, getting the best out of them, whether that's just giving them the confidence in the strikers like Connolly or maybe Delap fits into our system better. But with the few dribbles he's had so far and that lovely goal against Leicester, he's reminded me a little bit of Gyökeres for Coventry. He scored a lot of really good dribbles and has a lot of pace and tall striker. If he's anywhere near as good as that throughout the whole season, then we've got a really good signing. But yeah, Stoke and Preston clearly perhaps very difficult moves for him. But it seems that in his second full season, 2 goals already. He's already got half what he had the entirety of last year. So hopefully, of course, we'll talk about that in a little second, but we're not going to miss Oscar too much because, of course, he's gone out on loan. So, yeah, Delap so far, way better than I thought he was going to be.
I think the thing with Delap, I mentioned it previously, Leon wants to play a similar style. He's watched Pep and he really likes what Guardiola's doing. And it's like Delap has come through at Man City under that style. And I don't think Stoke and Preston, and I'm not ragging Preston too much because they're currently top of the championship, but I don't think they play that more passing, sort of flowing style that he was used to under Man City that Liam wants to play. And I think he suits him more. And that's why he's done so well for us so far.
Well, it's a similar story, isn't it, with Aaron Connolly as well, with obviously Brighton and Middlesbrough fans absolutely detest him. Like, Brighton fans couldn't have been happier to see the back of him when we announced him signing permanently. They were over the moon. So, I mean, maybe we've got a case of Liam Rossini's turning out to be a very good man manager. I mean, I think I can say safely that I would have guessed he would be very good at that man management. He seems a very good, you know, kind of guy. Come have a chat if you need to. What you got? What do you need to get off your chest, kind of thing. And works on players' games because he knows how good they can be. And like we say, Toufan, Delap, Connolly, all these examples of players that didn't really cut it somewhere else and have come here and sort of revitalised their career. It's only going to be good news for us, isn't it? So, but yeah, a very strong, a decent draw against Bristol. I mean, their goal, you know, they maybe were a bit unlucky that the first one was called offside. I think it was very close. You see him give him, you see him don't. like we said,
they had so many chances throughout the whole game. The XG was like over three, which is really rare.
That lovely XG stat that Will loves.
Oh, yeah. It's delightful, isn't it? That was quite funny, I thought, that offside goal, because I couldn't tell if it was offside from all the way on the side of the press box, but the way that Naki Wells went all the way up right in front of the linesman and then flagged.
Yeah, it was a really late call, wasn't it? It was like he was unsure.
I think the referee gave the linesman, to be honest, in the end.
Yeah, but then obviously, like we say, the comment from John where Connolly was through on goal as well, you know, it's a game of fine margins. Yeah. We could have also won it towards the end. Good, you know, it was a really good save. But yeah, a strong point against Bristol at home. We'll move on to obviously Leicester, which was yesterday. Tom, I believe you went, didn't you? What an away end that was. It seemed like a right experience. Just tell me about the day. What a game that was.
I think, if I'm being honest, that the atmosphere and the performance, probably one of the best I've seen in years. Especially when you go to a team like Leicester, they won the first four games. You're thinking you're going to go there, it's going to be a struggle. But we go there and we settle in so nicely and into our style. We go there with no fear. You know, we're not scared about playing out from the back and sticking with the same style. Like Rossini said before the season, we're going to go to every single team this season. We're going to play football. We're not going to sit back and, you know, wait for them to come on to us. And I think that suited us down to the ground. I think Leicester this season have been used to playing against teams like a low block, where they've got the quality to break teams down. Whereas we came and they were got in the faces straight away. And you know, that's they didn't know how to deliver us, really. Seri got on the ball, controlled it. We had the energy of Regan Slater up and down. Obviously, Connolly holding up the ball, stronger as an ox, even though he's small. And then obviously, Delap, unplayable. You know, obviously, Rossini tweaked the system a little bit, put Delap on the right and Traore centrally, and that worked a treat because Delap bullied Callum Doyle all game. Like, he just had the better beating him every single time he got the ball, and obviously, that's how the goal comes. You know, obviously, we're free. I think it was Seri who played the ball to Delap out wide, and you know, gets him 1v1, cuts inside, finishes on his left foot. But it's just so dangerous when you've got a player that quick, that strong, that fast, that could actually also use both feet as well. And yeah, but the overall, the day was just, it's unreal. Like the atmosphere, like I say, one of the best I've been in for years. I think it was up there with Derby away in the playoffs, if anyone else went that year, how good the atmosphere was. Yeah, it was so good. Like from start to finish, the fans were, you know, like, you know, chanting throughout, and yeah, it was brilliant day.
Yeah, I mean, you said on the tweet, and you will, that it was more or less a free hit because Leicester, you know, more than likely going to be champions of this division. I mean, their squad's littered with Premier League talent.
That game in Southampton away, I think going into it this season, where I thought, well, they're probably going to be the top two. They'll probably go straight back up. The money they've spent as well, they should go straight back up, really. So it was a delightful surprise.
Do you see it as is this a proper statement of intent result then? Do you think the rest of the league are going to go, do you know what, hang on, this whole look dangerous?
I have a feeling that they will a bit, definitely. But I think it's also a vindication of Rossini and wanting to play the style that he's after playing. I think it shows that, sometimes it can be a bit dodgy, but this is what can happen if you play this way. And if the more we play this way, the more these sort of performances will come.
Yeah, I think people can say that, you know, Leicester dominated and stuff like that, and they had the chances, but they didn't really test Nottingham, did they, at the end of the day? Like, they huffed and puffed, and I think when they brought that Vididi on, that left-winger, and the lad on the other side, I don't know his name, I think they looked really dangerous, and, you know, I think we did well to hold out that last 15, because I felt that if they got a goal, they'd have gone on to win it. It was that sort of game, but I think defensively we were so good, and I think the catalyst of that was putting Vinagre on the left back and moving Greaves to centre-back. I felt Vinagre, like, with the quality he can bring, like, obviously the reason why Vinagre played is because Leicester have got fast wingers, but he dealt with that so well. And obviously he's great at manoeuvring out of tight spaces, and he's good up and down. I think with the quality that he can bring going forward, that's the perfect game for Vinagre, really. And obviously Greaves was great back at centre-back as well. And obviously Alfie Jones, quality again. So can't really fault any of the teams, to be honest. Like, it was one of them where, apart from perhaps Traore, I think everyone played really well.
I disagree that you can maybe... Traore is still not being shown, but I have a feeling he might not be in the next starting lineup when it comes to Coventry game in a couple of weeks.
What do you think, Philogene or someone else is going to be in? Do we want to make that sort of statement win? Obviously, we want to win the game, but is it better for us because we're not a parachute payment team to sort of go under the radar? Do we want that pressure of being seen as a big team?
Rather go under the radar, but
you'd rather be under the radar. The media won't keep you under the radar if you keep performing like that.
I think we're better as a club when we're under the radar. I think we don't deal with pressure very well. I think that's why when we come to those big crunch games, you know, where we're against sides that haven't won in a long time, or you know, the teams around us when we were down near the relegation spots, we'd usually play terrible and lose. We've
seen it so many times, haven't we? Like, I remember, obviously, 12 to 13, Steve Bruce, we had to do it the hard way to go up. And then, obviously, 2015-16, to get promoted to the Prem, like, we lost so many games that we shouldn't be losing, like, towards the end against teams lower down the bottom, like, even teams that were already relegated. I think I remember in, like, 12 to 13, when I think we lost to Bristol City or Drew. And there was already relegated to League One. It's like,
well, historically we're a club. We're a club that's always gone under the radar, aren't we? And I think that's just like our natural mindset as a club, fan base, everything. It's, you know, maybe there's a bit more.
As a city, I mean, in general.
I think that's probably a cause of a lot of conflict at the minute, is that because of our success from the mid-noughties into the, you know, the up to about 2015-16. There's a generation now of fans who are used to success. So now, obviously, when the side's not doing as well, you've got your fans who remember where we came from in League Two to, you know, your fans who are used to us playing in the Premier League. So you've got a mixture at the minute, haven't we? And it's quite bizarre. But getting back onto the game then, anyway. So we've just mentioned the defence, Nathaniel. So we that was our first clean sheet of the season. I mean, if you're going to pick the first game of the season to get a clean sheet, what a time and place to do it. But the way that our players threw their bodies on the line, you know, really, really tried to grind out that draw, because, you know, with us this season particularly, when we're 1-0 up and it's getting to the last 10 minutes or so, Leicester score a lot of late goals as well. You're getting those vibes of, this is probably going to come undone, we're going to come away with a good point. But we didn't, and it's clean sheet. Did that performance remind you more of the last season's defence?
Yeah, because, I mean, when we scored early on, I thought this would be a good time to get our first clean sheet. And I said to one of my friends on Twitter to fluke one, but I don't think it was a fluke. It's a bit surprising, because I think Vinagre, although clearly fitter than he was in his debut, wasn't great against Norwich. So that was a bit surprising. But we need to defend better as a unit. And it's so surprising again after Bristol, because we conceded so many chances. But I think when you're playing against Leicester, you've really got to be on the top of your game. And it's good we did, you know, keep the clean sheet. I mean, Liam Smith's saying they got a goal that would have probably won it. And I think that's what they did in their first game against Coventry. They were 1-0 down for a while. So, fantastic to get that. And hopefully that means we can go on a run. I thought perhaps, I mean, we all predicted, except Will, that we would lose the game. I think, you know, we've got 2 weeks. We've got two home games coming up. Really, hopefully this is the start of a really good run, because hopefully a run of clean sheets, because we defensively until then throughout the season, we hadn't been great, but it's a habit. That's what Rossini said last year. And I think we've had almost half our games under Rossini have been, I think it's 14 from 33 clean sheets. So still very good record. Hopefully we can get back to that habit consistently.
Yeah. I think before the game, like I felt that we'd go there and perhaps lose narrowly, but judging on the basis of the games that they've had this season, Leicester, they've only been winning by one goal, even against like some Rotherham that are going to be down there this season fighting relegation. So I went there scared of what they're capable of achieving. I felt that we could go there and give them a game, but I didn't think we'd come away with a victory, like, if I'm being honest, brutally. But we came there and we executed the game plan perfectly, so, you know, you can't complain at that.
Yeah. I think the one of the only criticisms of last season was, despite us being hard to beat, that we were drawing far too many games.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw, obviously, when the official account put up the results of this season, you realise, you know, the three wins, one draw, one defeat, and you think, you know, maybe that Leicester game last season would have been a draw. The Blackburn away probably would have been a draw. Are we out now at the stage where this team has got this new system that Rossini wanted to play, that we, you know, myself included, maybe perhaps criticised at the start of the season, pre-season, this 4-4-2 fluid, versatile players playing originally in a 4-4-2, but moving about on the pitch kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do we think they're settling into it more now, and that understanding and that solidity is now resulting in us getting those wins over the line instead of draws?
Mm. Is that? Yeah, because I think obviously the first two, I felt from watching that we wasn't really like playing. How was our season in terms of like the movement? I think was quite static. It was easy to play against. We would get the ball wide, and we'd just obviously pass it back and pass it around with no purpose. Whereas now we're actually playing with purpose. As soon as we get the ball, like, yeah, we'll build it from the back, but we're looking to go forward. Like, you see out the ambition we showed with the lap score, like, looking to get the ball straight forward to him. And I think now we're playing more fluidly. Like, there's more movement, like you're saying. Like, it's not like a static 4-4-2. We're actually sort of playing, you know, we're so hard to sort of pick up. I think the way that teams can get us is probably by playing with like a number 10, getting in between the lines, like in between like Seri and Slater. Like, that's how people, you know, teams can like trouble us. But I think Leicester didn't do that really. They don't really have that sort of number 10 that can get in between the lines. Obviously, lost Maddison, but not really. I know you're not going to really replace him at championship level, but you can get someone like a playmaker in there that's going to cause problems. And they didn't do that against us. But yeah, we are playing more fluid now, and that's how we're troubling teams, because they found it so hard to pick us up. Like, you having the lap drift out wide. You have two, obviously, when two fan players, he does that. And it's so hard for teams to sort of play against us, I think. And that's the reason why we've had a good start to the season.
See, and what you just went through a minute ago is exactly why people go mental after the Doncaster game was ridiculous, and why you should give it 10 games to truly judge a team, because that was 3 weeks ago, and now the fan base has completely switched from.
Now we're going up. We're walking it.
Yeah, but the difference is that like I always say, the Doncaster performance was shocking, and everything that goes on beyond that then is a hypothetical. Is it going to fix itself? Is it going to continue like that? That's everybody's worry. But when you played, I mean, with hindsight, the Norwich result was probably quite positive, because they've started the season really well, barring yesterday. That was a bad result. I mean, obviously now as well, he's got more players through the door that we obviously didn't, that are going to fit his system better, because we knew we didn't really have that much offensive threat out wide, I don't think. That's shown with Adama Traore playing out wide when he's clearly a midfielder. Oh, and wow. You know, players like Ryan Longman, who's naturally a wide player, who's probably going to go, look, Nathaniel's face is lit up. But players like this, and bringing in Laquilo, who I thought looked quite decent, has probably been quite, you know, harshly dropped. I think Sean McLaughlin's probably been quite harshly dropped too, but this is the strength in depth that we've got.
That's
now
the thing with McLaughlin. Everyone loves McLaughlin. We drop him and get the clean sheet.
Yeah, we brought him in last season and started getting clean sheets, though, so it works. It swings and roundabouts, isn't it? I mean, the thing is the mainstay, though, Will, and you'll love this, is Alfie Jones. And he was absolutely outstanding against Coletti Iheanacho yesterday.
What impressed me was, like, I think against these sort of teams, you can sort of drop back and let him get the ball and drive it. But I felt Alfie Jones was in his face straight away. Like, when a defender's getting in front of the man and winning the ball, I just love watching that. Like, and that's what Alfie Jones was doing against Iheanacho. I think in the first, 10 minutes, I think, both Coyle and Jones got a yellow card, and I was thinking, walking on tightropes here for the rest of the game. But the fair play, like, we didn't rush into tackles, we didn't dive in, we sort of bided our time. But when obviously the ball was there to be won, and we had the opportunity to sort of push on some and win the ball back high up, we did that. And I think that started with Aaron Connolly pressing. Like, he was so good yesterday at just pressing and obviously harrying defenders, and that's exactly. If I'm being honest, like, maybe, obviously, it sounds bad saying this, but I think perhaps it was maybe a blessing to Tufan getting injured. I think Connolly's better at pressing in that sort of situation than Tufan would have been, and then was able to push on to him a bit more. I can't wait for Tufan to be back, but I mean, in terms of that game itself, like, probably it suited Connolly more than it would have Tufan.
Yeah, I did think about this earlier when I was talking to one of the Coventry pods, were asking if he'd be fit for their game, which I think he will be. But asking about whether or not we'd miss him at Leicester, and it's one of those in it where Tufan, I feel, is more of the player you play at home, because he's got space and time to. I think away from home,
when you're the dominant team,
when we're away from home, he seems quite anonymous, doesn't he? He doesn't have the means to press like you say, like Aaron Connolly does.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly valid. I mean, Tufan's obviously going to score goals this season. Connolly's going to score goals this season. Delap showing that he's going to score goals this season. This is something that was probably one of the biggest concerns of the start of this season. Can we score goals? I mean, obviously, great result at Leicester. We'll move us swiftly into deadline day, which was quite exciting with the players we brought in. Nathaniel, I'll come to the outgoings first because there was an outgoing. Which you're gonna
you want me to talk about the Ryan? Well, Ryan Woods, I think that deal to Bristol, that's going to really work out for him. Shame it didn't work out for here. But I don't think that any other Ryan's left. Ryan Allsop, I can talk about that if you want. But I don't recall anything else.
We can cover. It doesn't have to be deadline day exclusive. We can cover the other transfers beforehand. Obviously, like Ryan Allsop has signed in the meantime when we've not had an episode two. So,
have you got more competition? The royalty free violin music to play now for Nathaniel's fair.
Picture the scene: all of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Do you know what? If I'd have thought about it, I'd have actually found the sound and played it. Just like Mr. Krabs' meme with the small violin.
It's in my head. I'm playing it up here.
But should we cover the actual incomings and outgoings then? So obviously, since we last had an episode, I mean, obviously, like, we didn't mention Ryan Woods, who's been gone quite a while now. Ryan Allsop's been brought in this competition to Ingram, which we obviously thought we needed. Another goalkeeper that can play up from the back, yeah. Another player that's come with quite a bit of criticism from his former fans, so you know he's going to be absolutely mint. But the deadline day one, so outgoing, we had obviously Brandon Fleming's gone on loan to Shrewsbury, a move that I don't think has surprised many of us. Do we think that's probably the last we see of Brandon Fleming? Do you think he goes in summer? Yeah. I don't know what his contract length is.
Probably.
Yeah, every time I see him, I think that's the last time. I mean, he keeps showing up.
He's not young, though. He's 24 this year, now. Yeah. Like, he's not a 21-year-old spring chicken, you know what I mean? He's like someone that's got a play. He's got to move on now for the rest of his career. And I think he is a League One level left back. I don't think he's Championship anymore. I think there was a point where he was, but that the injury sort of set him back. And then from there, he's not really pushed on.
That's it. He never really pushed on from what his initial best of form. He never...
Yeah. He's had 6 years. He's had 6 years since he made his debut in the League Cup, and he's not got into the team after 6 years.
And he's hardly played any games, to be fair. Look at the amount of appearances he's made for his age.
He's not racked up 100, I don't think. He's nowhere near 100 in his career, which is quite bad.
So Brandon Fleming went to Shrewsbury. Xavier Simons. Xavier Simons, whatever it's the pronunciation is, went to Fleetwood Town on loan, which I think caught everybody by surprise. Simons going out on loan, because if he's not going to play here regularly, then you want a player that promising to go out and play every week.
Yeah,
perhaps maybe more at a stable club that's not just chuck their manager. But regardless, he's gone to Fleetwood. Is that a move we're all okay with?
Yeah. Well, not massively, because yesterday we didn't have any midfielders on the bench. I still think we're a little bit light defensively.
I said that.
I guess when Morton and Doherty are in, that's fine.
I'd say Tyler Morton's just got here as well, who I think he's an improvement.
I just don't think Rossini is a big fan of, like, although I would like one. He's not a big fan of like a big midfielder that's going to just sort of sit in front of the defence and be stagnant and win possession back and stuff like that. He'd rather have like 2 players that are comfortable in possession and obviously can have the legs to get up and down. I think that's what he prefers. Like, and I think that explains why I've not invested in a whole of the field. I know, like, Xavier Simons is that, but yeah.
I think based on what I've heard from Rossini, he sees Xavier as being here long term. And I have a feeling he wants him to take over, if he can get him there, to take over Seri's role when Seri eventually leaves.
Yeah, because he wants him,
and I think as a result, he wants to send him out on loan and get him blooded, get him used to playing regular football. And I think that's the other way he's going to do it, is by going out on loan somewhere. But as you said, I'm going to maybe what could possibly be a bit of a basket case that haven't won a game yet this season might not be the best idea.
Well, get in the squad then, surely. If they're
rubbish, at the same time, yeah, you might be guaranteed football as a result. Mm. Probably the best player.
Yeah, so then probably one that's Marmite with the fan base. I'm actually really interested to know all your three spots on this one. Obviously, Oscar Estepinian going to FC Metz on loan with a view to buy, I believe, in summer for 4 million or something like that. Is that a wise move, considering injury wise we might be quite thin up top?
I wasn't happy with that, if I'm being honest, because I felt if you look at Aaron Connolly's injury record, if he got injured, for instance, would be light on forwards. You've got the lap, and then who else is there? I know you could play two fan trial raise, one the two strikers. That's probably what the senior sees, but I wasn't happy with Oscar leaving in terms of what he can bring off the bench. But obviously, he's probably up there with the best finisher we have, like in terms of like instinctive finishing, and sometimes late on in a game, like you can bring him on and it come up with that important goal. He scored a lot of important goals last season, so letting him go was quite disappointing without bringing in someone else in, because I know obviously it was linked with Keenan Davis. I don't think he was the sort of guy to replace him, given his goal record. But yeah, I think with Oscar, it's one of them where I think he does want to play regular football. So seeing the opportunity there to leave and he's grasped it, and you can't really argue with that. It's just disappointing from my point of view.
I think it would have been a bit more justified if we had got Davis in or another striker. I think because he was looking at Davis's hold up play, perhaps not his goal record. But yeah, I agree. I mean, of course, if it's a loan deal and Delap or someone gets injured, then of course we could bring him back in January, possibly. But yeah, because I guess Rossini's brought in Delap and brought in most of the attacking players we have now because we've signed so many. I thought this summer was going to be less busy, but it's another 10 signings. So I guess he prefers him, Delap, over to Oscar. But yeah, because he can score goals and that's what you need at the end of the day. Even if he's not a perfect fit, it still worked out okay last season, I think, for 13 goals.
I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? With Championship clubs, it's so difficult to find a striker that can score 10, 15, 20 goals at this level. Mm-hmm. And Oscar did it in his debut season. But like we say, Rosinia, he only scored, what was it, 2 goals from January onwards?
He scored only 4 from after September.
Yeah, so is he realistically somebody that is obviously going to fit the way that Liam Rossini wants to play? Yes, he's a great goal poacher, and I think I'd have liked to have seen him play alongside the lap for, you know, the lap's hold-up playing and putting the ball in the box. You know, that kind of goal that two fans scored at Bristol City would be, you know, absolute tea and biscuits for someone like Oscar. So, yeah, it's quite weird, but I can also understand it at the same time. He might go over there and set the league alight, and we get quite a nice hefty fee for him. I mean, if it's $4 million buyout, that's decent enough for a free transfer, isn't it? But yeah, you were going to say something, Will.
Yeah, my feelings are I'm kind of a bit of both. Like, I'm obviously disappointed that probably our best natural finishers leaving the club, but at the same time, it's good financially for us because his wages are off the bill. I think he was one of the top 3 highest earners at the club. Let's say we'll going to make a profit from him as a result if we do it. Apparently, it's a €2 million loan fee as well, so we've made money straight away there. And yeah, we might be a bit light of him, but when you actually look at it, you know, Delap, Connolly, you could argue, you say Tufan can play up there, we've played Traore up there, you can play Ali up there if he's fit. We've got that Harry Sandat in the under-21s who could easily be brought
on.
We could recall on one. I wouldn't expect it, but you never know. There are a lot more attacking options we could play up front than this ridiculous. I bet Philogene might even be able to play up front, I don't know.
I think so, people's concerns is more that it's not that people can't play up there, it's how effective they could be up there.
Yeah.
So obviously Aliar can't play through the middle, but isn't going to score as many goals.
Gonna get on to Oscar Wonder Liam hasn't been massively effective.
Yeah. Well, there you go, that's the other side of it. I mean, it's a weird transfer because there's like, you know, I had a family member of mine come to me today and say, how come you've just loaned out your top scorer of last season? I don't understand that. So, like, from an outside perspective, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But, a bit weird.
Yeah, but internally, like we say, he perhaps don't fit the system. But we'll move on to, obviously, probably the one that Nathaniel's really, really looking forward to talking about, and that's Ryan Longman's gone on loan to Millwall. I'm actually really, really surprised he got a Championship move. I thought he'd go League One.
Yeah, I'm being honest with all, yeah.
Obviously, he's got a championship move. I think he's easily got the ability to do well in the championship.
Well, because we saw it. Last time he was on loan to someone, he did really well. That was to us, of course. Yeah. It was just when
his stock's fallen a lot. That's what surprised me. But I do hope he smashes it in the wall, to be fair.
I am glad it's actually a loan because he's a young player. And if he has a good season at Millwall, bring him back and his confidence might be all the way back up again.
Well, he's English. I don't agree with the people.
I don't agree with people like sort of with the replies.
Celebrate.
I just don't agree with stuff like that.
I always love that.
People have an agenda, don't they?
We always act like they support the club, support the players, but the moment a player plays like crap, instantly gang on him and just insult him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay to criticize. You just don't do it publicly and tag them and stuff like that. I don't think that's right.
There's a difference between criticism and abuse.
Is what it is.
And too many people fall on the latter side of it rather than the criticism.
I mean, the thing is, the one thing you can never fault Longman for was he'd work hard. You can't say he'd ever gone out on the pitch and not tried his hardest. It's just maybe at the minute, quality-wise and confidence, he's just not at that level where he can produce. So maybe a change of surroundings, circumstances, new fan base, you know, just sort of reinventing himself at Millwall at this level would be the best case scenario for everybody involved.
Millwall, they're quite a direct team. I think he's quite direct. He, you know, gets on the ball and he wants to score or, you know, cross it. Whereas maybe he hasn't got that like first touch technical ability to do the passing system we're doing.
And there's a Honeyman there to get him integrated, I suppose, a bit as well.
Yeah.
What he knows.
Yeah.
And George Long.
Didn't he leave? He might have left.
I don't know, but he knows Hull.
I think George Long got like a really bizarre transfer somewhere. Was it like Norwich or somebody? I know he went somewhere that you were like, eh, why? Or West Brom, somebody like that. Yeah, but obviously it makes sense, I think, overall for Longman to go out and run. Like we say, we all forget he's still quite young. What is he, only 21? 21, 22?
22, I think, 22.
Oh, yeah, 22.
So, you know, he's still only young and hopefully he does well in Millwall. And obviously Millwall have gained an extra fan in Nathaniel. They'll get all sorts of inside info and statistical data on Longman's performances. I'll ask Mickey from the Millwall pod if you can come on and just do the Longman minute.
Well, to be fair, also, he has provided many hours of great content on the podcast over the last two years.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a disappointment to see him missed.
Well, there's probably going to be more content than there was because I'm going to have to remind you we're going to have a whole segment dedicated to
Loan Watch.
To Loan Watch, Longman Watch.
Is that going to be on your blog, blog style?
I'll be on a new segment on the blog.
Loan Watch.
Yeah, probably. But just specifically Longman, yeah.
It'll be 75% Longman and then briefly on like Brandon Fleming and everybody else, Simon.
Yeah.
So incomings then, the ones we were all excited for, waiting for all day, that the admin probably purposely left to the last hour of the day.
They had it scheduled for the last hour, didn't they?
They were all posted like evenly between one.
I think what it was is they wanted to get the outgoings out of the way first so they could finish with positive news.
Yeah. So obviously we brought in, I mean, a couple of them I don't even think I remember us being linked with. So this James Furlong.
That interests me because he's a young left back.
The days ago that came up, yeah.
So
he's a young left back we've brought in permanently from Brighton, not on loan. One for the future, so possibly a long-term Brandon Fleming replacement if we don't get Vinagre permanently in summer, which I believe his buyout's 15 million, so it's unlikely. £12 million, €15 million. Yeah, so unless we go, it's unlikely we get him. But interested to see him. Any thoughts on that signing? I mean, I don't know much about it. It's highly rated at Brighton.
Yeah, it's highly rated. Yeah, I think it's good that obviously since Vinagre's on loan, that we've got someone permanent that hopefully he can sort of grasp the opportunity when he gets it this fair long. See what it's about. I don't really know a great deal about him, but yeah, I've heard good things, I guess, from a couple of Brighton fans on Twitter, but apart from that, I'm not really sure.
We'll have to get a Nathaniel compilation going of his
Well, he hasn't scored highlights. Any goals. He's got 3 assists from Motherwell last year, and I mean, the Scottish division, that's always a difficult one to judge because Celtic and Rangers keep saying that they could you know, stay up in the Premier
League. Two words.
At 10th. But then,
the James Scott.
Yeah, but then who was the other guy? The other one from Motherwell.
I don't know, but there's also David Milinkovic.
Not Stephen Kingsley from the Scottish League.
No. Years ago, in like 2005, before I was born.
Before you was born?
I can't remember, but I'm going for negative one, so I don't know what David Milinkovic, we got him from Scotland.
I thought we got him for Genoa, didn't we?
Stuart Elliott.
David Milinkovic.
There you go. He was good, right?
Scotland.
Yeah, Stuart Elliott was good.
Milinkovic.
Yeah, got Milinkovic Scotland,
wasn't good.
Did we? I thought it went to Genoa.
He was on loan at Hearts.
Yeah, Andy, Harry's pulling up a couple of good examples in the comments. Andy Robertson, Alan McGregor.
Yeah, Doherty used to play there.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah. It's just another development one, like Simons. Maybe he isn't going to be playing this season, but we want to create a sustainable squad. Like, even if we don't get promoted in the next few years, we want to have good assets to sell or to play for the years to come. So I think from that perspective, fairly sensible.
Well, yeah. Rosinha obviously didn't fancy Fleming, did he? So he needed a replacement to send him out on loan. And I believe us getting him meant that Fleming could go out on loan, because otherwise we'd have had no backup left back. Well, we could have used Greaves there, but I don't think he wanted to.
I think it also shows that I think Rosinha must have faith in Andy Smith then, because surely you can't go into a championship season with four centre-backs if you don't trust one of them. Like, surely we'd have signed the centre-back. Mm-hmm. So maybe if Andy injuries, and Andy Smith to come in there and do a job, but... The only poor performance got to judge him on the season is the Doncaster home one. It didn't really paint himself in a good light there, but perhaps if he did get given a chance in the league, he'd, obviously now we're playing better, that, you know, he'd probably do a good job, but it hopefully don't come to that. You know, hopefully, touch wood, we stay injury free defensively. So.
Mm. And then another one that I feel is an exciting one is Tyler Morton. It looked at one point like that wasn't going to happen, and then it just sort of came. It was just announced. But Blackburn fans say he was very tidy on the ball. He played like 40 games for him last season, I think.
I remember when we played him last season, and I was in the press conference after the game, and Rosinha brought Morton specifically in the press conference after the game last season when we played
him,
which I thought was interesting. In hindsight, he's incredibly interesting, showing how much he's rated him for a while. Been after him, and I'm with you. I think it's a really good signing because it looked really good for Blackburn last season. And I think the reason it took so long, I think, is because they were waiting for the Gravenberch one to be done from buying Munich from Liverpool before they let him go. So I think that's why it took a while.
Yeah, but a midfielder, you see, what interests me about it is I don't think that Liverpool would loan him here if he's not going to play.
Well, I think he's definitely
going to play over Slater, right? Maybe.
Slater's position on the pitch, but whether Slater does move forward or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, but then do we really need another player up front? We've got so many.
I know.
Well, if Oscar's gone.
Yeah.
But then we've also got Philogene coming in. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say before, because we have been playing sort of 4-4-2, except two fans being behind, so is it going to be more like a 4-2-3-1? Because you want Twine or Tufan in behind the striker, and then you want Philogene and Aquilo or any of the others, countless others. Not going to name them all.
I think it's just that many different systems. You can't really pigeonhole like it. Is it? I know it's like we start at 4-4-2, but with so many different systems that we play in one game. Like, then obviously sometimes Greaves will drop into, if he's playing left back, he'll drop into centre-back, and then we overload the wide areas. It's like, you know, I think obviously that we've got the versatility now to sort of play loads of different systems with the players we've brought in. And I'm just glad that we've invested now in the wide areas, like we've improved that. And obviously so far, we're scoring goals, and that's obviously what we like last season. So,
And we wanted that, didn't we? I mean, how many times did we come on this podcast and criticise Grant McCann and Shota Ravalazzi for playing the same system week in, week out, when it clearly wasn't working? And now Rosinha has obviously got many systems, many formations, players that are versatile, that can play pretty much anywhere on the pitch if we need to tweak it, change it. And he has been changing it. So now we've got, you know, a manager who's showing that tactically, despite being very, very early in his managerial career, has, you know, that know-how, that confidence to be able to switch it up. And like we say, you know, signing all these players, we've got loads. Yeah, of course we have. But now we've got options, which is something we haven't had for, you know, quite a while. We've always had a thin squad. Last season, we had quite a big squad, but they were all injured. So hopefully, if they all stay fit this year, we're all good. But we're actually covered more in case of injury as well. So shouldn't hamper, you know, any momentum that we get too bad. We'll move on to probably the biggest, one of the biggest signings of the Championship, I think, in Jadon Philogene finally being announced coming in permanently. I assume everybody is happy with this.
Yeah,
I am. I had to wait for longer to know to about it because I knew about it about a week and a half before it was revealed. It was horrible.
ITK will.
Daniel.
In the know. In the know. And also,
everyone will be coming into Will's inboxes every transfer window now, thinking he's ITK.
I thought it was going to be a Smith.
Not really, it's just that.
I'm surprised Will's not gotten his name on Twitter now, in brackets, ITK, next to his name.
Well, if anyone wants to message me, I'll just respond with a swift expletive.
You did well not swearing there, Will, to be fair. But yeah, Philogene's an interesting one, because obviously he's going to, like Will said earlier, presumably go on to the right-hand side where Adama's playing at the minute, and perhaps didn't have the best of games against Leicester, but... Having Philogene and Twine as your wingers is with Vinagre.
Very exciting.
Christie, you've got minutes and looked good against Leicester again. You know, we're getting to a point
We forgot about Christie, to be fair. Like, when he came on, he was so good. Like, he was doing, I thought he was going to score the goal that he sort of scored at Rotherham. You know, he cuts in on his left and puts it in the corner. But obviously, I don't know if he shot it wide or he got deflected for a corner. But yeah, he looked so dangerous going forward. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously, if Coyle have got a job, you've got Christine Vinagre like running down the wing, it's like exciting. Like, you know, we've been crying out for like an exciting left back for years. Like, we've not had one since Robertson, and now what we've got on, and it's only on loan, but Vinagre looks like that sort of Robertson esque sort of player that's great going forward.
Mm. I mean, I
do remember reading something recently about Scott Klein that, and when he wanted to join last summer, he'd asked about a load of like data and tactical analysis of how the team played, you know, from Shotta. And apparently Shotta couldn't provide anything, which I think is telling me in hindsight. He couldn't provide, especially what Vincent Kompany offered. But apparently when he came this time round, he said that Rossini's on a different planet to what Kompany was doing last season when it comes to how he wants to manage players and how he wants his positions and all the way they're playing. Which I think is a good positive sign in long term what Rossini wants to do and how he's attracting players with the way, what his vision is.
Yeah,
it's so important to have a manager that the players believe and trust, because you want to come to a club and know that your role is clear, that they're going to play a style that suits you, gets the best out of you, and that the manager will try and support you if perhaps you're not playing that well and won't just cast you out. So I think that having somebody like Rosinia, in contrast to Shotta, you know, is a massive plus for transfers. I think one thing that we need to note this time is, obviously, with, as we mentioned, the final incoming, which was Bora Idenlick.
He goes by Bora, so let's just stick with that.
Yeah. Another one that's... Because I was going to say we've had a predominantly very domestic transfer window in comparison to last season.
Could have one.
Final little tech.
Got a quota to fill.
It's a transfer.
He's a bit likened to that Arda Güler. So if he's any good as him, like if he's close to as good as him, then we might have a gem on our hands. You know what I mean?
Odd, because you can't say it's one. You can't say it's one for the future because forward, he's on loan. He's into the academy. So I still think
it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it?
Just part of that link Tan Kessler was saying in his interview, just with Villa and maybe with Davis, along with Philogene and with talking to Romo and talking to Fenerbahce. It's not necessarily that he's going to make a huge impact this season, but perhaps...
Just a network. So I think it's a networking sort of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's probably just the experience. I mean, they're probably, you know, where's he come from? Fenerbahce. So they've probably said, look, can he come over and be with your club for a year? You know, he's going to learn so much from your manager, from the other players, from, you know, some of the fantastic teams and players that are in the division. Yeah, so he's going to come back to Fenerbahce a totally different and more physical player, I would imagine, and It will. Mm. It's a shame that we're not in the cup because these players, you know, like Andy Smith.
Probably just personal growth sort of thing as well. Like getting the points with what his comfort. It's more like personal growth. Getting the points with what his comfort zone. So then that'll develop him on the field as well.
Like, essentially, like
obviously playing England's tough. Like, so. Yeah.
Mm.
Similar sort of thing.
Because is he a winger?
He is. He's another winger.
Yeah. So we're now overloaded on the wings, aren't we? But that's good. Like I said, it's a shame we're not in the cup because they've actually probably had some game time. It's a shame that the FA Cup.
He's still the FA Cup to come.
And Yuri Ocelli comes back in January, I believe.
Oh, he's never going to play for us, is he? Above all the other ones we've got.
Ali came on as well. I think he's better up front, to be honest.
I think he's a striking option.
Yeah, I do think he can hopefully start scoring goals. I'd love to see him sort of come into his own now. I don't think he's a good winger in this system, like, because the Rossini wants to play like intricate like sort of style where Ali has like direct. So I think if you could play him up front, sort of like a pressing forward. I can start scoring because obviously we've seen glimpses like last season when he was central. He makes them intelligent runs, but he's never had the end products. But hopefully, if he can add that to his game, then like
he could be a decent sub to come on for the lap like later in games.
Exactly, yeah. That's and hopefully he could push on. But
we've got a nice big squad. Hopefully, that despite a few injuries, would still be quite strong and competitive in every game.
Cynic as well. He was on the bench first time since December. Because, of course, he had a decent loan here since from January.
Nice to see him back.
Is he ever going to play? I feel like any of our wingers is ever going to play because there's so many of them.
You'd assume he's one of the highest earners. And he's not playing. Probably. That's what concerns me.
Hmm.
I thought they'd have probably sent him out on loan again. But obviously, they plan to have him as part of the team in some way.
I think if he's willing to fight for his place, I think that's the thing. I do think he's got the quality to sort of push. I think it's good, obviously, having this competition because you know that the likes of Philogene, obviously, when he starts playing Swan and Lekila and that, they're going to push each other to get the best out of each other. So. But it's good to have different options, I guess, like, Cynic again is one of them sort of players that just likes to pick up the ball and run at defenders, and you need that sort of later in games, I think, like when defenders are tired, and you know, hopefully he can make a difference. But yeah, maybe alone would have been good, but hopefully he gets a chance.
One of the deadline day signings we did miss out on, that Baz said, was Jezrin Rucksacki that we went for. Didn't get the player that they needed.
We haven't got enough of those. It was that Keon Etiquette, desperate for a winger.
But overall, then, are we saying successful transfer window?
Well, yeah, definitely more positive.
I'd probably say like a 7.5, 8 out of 10.
To be fair, it's hard to say until they play. They might all be rubbish, all we know.
Because we thought last year was good.
That transfer window, I remember it when we brought in players like Hatton Ben Arfa, and it was the greatest transfer window of all time. Yeah. And that went well, didn't it?
And that deadline day will never be beaten, though. That the army, Abel Hernandez, Ben Arfa, and who else Gaston was on the deadline day? Yeah, Gaston Ramirez, that's it. All on deadline day.
I was on a lad's holiday in Magaluf during that, I paid €10 at a bar for free drinks for 4 hours. So it was some day that, yeah. And I was with a Newcastle supporting friend, and he was like, as if you've just got Ben Arfa, that's mad. And obviously.
Yeah, well, at the time, it seemed like a cracking move.
Mm, yeah, and then
Bruce was never going to get the best out of those players. All those flair attacking players, Bruce was never going to get the best out of them.
Yeah,
but you can say that in hindsight.
He's not a good man of management.
10 years later.
But so we're in a. We would say overall a decent, definitely a very good transfer window. Brought in some spectacular. I mean, Scott Twine, Philogene, particular highlights. I would say Liam Delaps, you know, proving everybody wrong, looking absolutely fantastic, and. We're in a very good place. One defeat in the first five. We're what, sixth place into the international break now. Two very big, tough home games in a row on the way back. We've got Coventry at home and then Leeds at home a few days after. So a couple of big ones.
Leeds are tough. They couldn't even score against Wednesday.
We scored four against them.
Yeah, that's true. So I mean, the next couple of games, are we saying Would you take?
I'll take two points.
Two.
Yeah. Start.
Would you? Oh, come on, man.
I would take six, but I think
I'll take 2 points.
At least one win. At least one win would be good.
I mean, we've got Stoke on a Sunday. Is it Stoke on a Sunday?
Yeah.
It's like a week after. So that's a very horrible one. That horrible.
Yeah.
I remember Middlesbrough a couple of years ago on a Sunday.
Is that going to be three TV games in a row then? Because we're always on Sky.
Must be.
Wait,
it's annoying that Leeds is on a Wednesday.
Commentary on Sky.
I don't think they're on Sky. It's just, but the Southampton
Bristol City one,
Leicester games at the same time. So that'll be on Sky.
The Bristol one
TV
was
games.
On Friday because of rugby. Mm.
Yeah,
on Sky. This Leeds one will be on Sky because I think all the midweek games are on the red button from memory. And then the
that
Sunday
doesn't really count as the curse, then, though, does it?
And then the Sunday games on Sky.
Mm. Interesting. Mm. But yeah, so I think we've pretty much covered what we can. Obviously, it's an international break next week, so I believe we'll try and do an episode next week.
Are you not mentioning how the predictions went yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Shall
so
we not bother? I don't think we did it this week.
I'm on zero still.
But as everybody knows, by default, Will just says 3-0 every single game. So because we grabbed a surprise win at Leicester, Will is literally the only person who got a point because we all predicted.
Is it working? Is my tactic working?
I guess so.
Yeah, up
long
until
season. It's a long season, Will.
It is a long season.
Oh yeah, but I'm gonna ride this train as long as I possibly can.
What's the rewards for winning the coming top?
We'll have to decide, won't we? We'll have to make it worthwhile. We'll have to get our heads together and think of a forfeit for whoever finishes bottom as well.
Oh no!
Which is me in a minute. Even
put some extra
in. I don't get right to one. I said 1-1 at Blackburn, and on the podcast I said 2-1 to Wolves. I messed myself up there. Change of prediction.
Yeah, Tom.
If there's a forfeit, I'm going to be as negative as possible and just say 1-1 every time. No,
but that's not where you're saying that pretty much now, aren't you? And it's not working.
Yeah, it's a long season. It'll add up. It'll add up throughout the year.
Before we go, the voting closes officially kaput for the nominations for the Football Content Awards at midnight tonight. So you have a few hours if you've not voted.
The 3rd of September.
Yeah,
so if you're watching it after the 3rd of September, that's pointless.
Yeah, so if you're watching live right now in the comments, you've still got time to vote. If you're listening on audio, it's already done. it's already done. We appreciate any votes. Obviously, if you're sharing it about everything like that, we got third last year. It was mad. We didn't even expect to be there. So anything that we get this year, again, just another bonus for us. We enjoy doing this. We don't do it for the votes. We just do it because we enjoy it. So if you enjoy it too and you want to vote for us, feel free to do so. Obviously, we are sponsored by, I forgot to do this at the beginning. If you're watching Jimmy and Carl, I am sorry. All Zoological and Kingfisher Fish and Chips on Springbank West.
Best fish and chips.
I mean, I still need to go and try them, to be fair. I'm slacking. I'm slacking. I keep telling him I'm going
to
go down, but it's...
What we need to do is get, like you said before, we need to get some pictures for the website, I think. Outside Zoological as well.
We'll get outside. It's hard because at the minute I'm working with us at work. We've got a busy Harrogate show on, and we don't finish till late, and I just can't be bothered to then drive back to Hull straight after. Thank you to everybody who's been watching. Thank you to Nathaniel, Tom, and Will who's joined us for this episode, and hopefully we'll be back with maybe a couple of previews next week. Whoever fancies it, I might do one with the commentary Leeds fans. We are on the white.
Yeah, it's a national break, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's why I thought I was going to get an opposition guest on this episode, but then thought it's pointless. We might as well do it next week. We can do it a bit better and more in depth, can't we? But yeah, thanks everybody for watching. Like we say, anybody that votes for us in the Football Content Awards, thank you. And we will see you next time. Thank you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges.
That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.